broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Peru's chief of police said they first became aware of the alleged crime 4 months ago after
receiving... But you didn't know they were going to come after you.
No, and neither did the campaign. Had the campaign known...
Interestingly, the only woman, actually, that I have seen, only kind of a figure that I've seen that could...
911, where's your emergency?
Just a woman on 85 right outside of Petersburg, Virginia.
You ever smoke, Wolf?
No, not really.
You ruined!
World-famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. This is where reality is the bitch here, and this is a radio show, of course, that is a trip through the looking glass of talk radio and of media in general. And, boy, if ever there was a time, in the history of talk radio that needed a show like this, man, this is it, man. If this ain't the time, then there ain't no time, you know?
Yeah, this is the time.
Yeah,
because
it's the time.
Yeah,
that's what I was saying. Okay. Usually, a statement like that it echoes down the halls of
time.
Yes, it echoes down the halls of time. 877-876 Phil. Joining us this hour on the line is Vernon Dozier. You know, there's been an awful lot of talk these days about stimulus money. What should be done? What shouldn't be done with stimulus money? We're going to talk to him about what he feels is the absolute abject failure of the Obama administration to get that money out where it ought to be, and plus the public monies for education across the country. We're having a problem here in the state of California. That is, there is a tuition hike due at the UC campuses, UC Berkeley, UCLA, UC Irvine, whatever it is you see, you know.
You're seeing a tuition hike.
Right, you're seeing a tuition hike. So we're going to talk about that with Vernon Dozier here in just a moment. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. You can also view us online at philhendryshow.com, where we have a live streaming video of the show every night, as well as live streaming audio, and you can download the audio. I usually say the next day, but download won't be what, bud?
Monday they had a download, and that'll be ready then. But, I mean, sometimes...
Well, what do you mean sometimes? Sometimes
I'll have it up on Saturday, you know.
All right, well, maybe tomorrow they'll have the on-demand video and the downloadable audio. But usually on a weekend, it doesn't happen until Monday. And if you'd like to Twitter, you can twitter.com/PhilHendryShow. And that's where we have our Twitter page that is operated by the staff here. Joining us now from Glendale, California is Vernon Dozier, who is an educator at the high school level, but he has taught in college. He's a member of the board of administrators there at Belmar Academy. He's also a varsity football coach over there, a health and sciences teacher. Vernon, thanks for joining us tonight, and pretty tough news for the state of California.
Well, thank you very much, Phil. It is tough news. It's tough news, I think, for I think it's tough news for those who believe that there is an unlimited amount of money to go to public education in this, in the state of California, across the country. And I think it is proof positive of what we have been saying on the right, that this kind of approach to societal ills, throwing all this money into public schools and this, I'm not saying I'm against public schools, but I think you're seeing now that the socialism of it.
Are you saying that public universities are socialism?
I really think we have to face that, Phil. I think we do. Look, every time you would say to somebody, show me a government program that works, people would always come back with that. They'd always get that look on their face like, aha, got you now. And they'd say, what about public schools? What about public universities? And to be honest with you, it's a tough one to come, you know, to have a comeback to, because for the most part, public universities have worked. But I think we see now that Obama and his plans for this country and the idea of public universities and public this and public that's not going to work. Now, I have applied to the federal government. The reason why I'm on your program is for one reason. To give you an example of entrepreneurial thinking and what can make some money for the government, as opposed to throwing a bag of money at the public schools of this country and praying that someone who catches it knows what it is, knows what to do with it, and knows how to work with it the proper way. the Spahn Ranch, Phil, as you know, was the movie ranch that the Manson family lived at in the 1960s.
That was George Spahn, right?
Yeah, that was the man who owned it, yeah.
Okay, that was the Spahn Ranch up in Chatsworth?
Yeah, it's up in Chatsworth. It's up there in that high country near the Santa Susana Pass where they filmed a lot of the TV movies and all of this. This Spahn Ranch where Charles Manson and the people who eventually murdered Sharon Tate and those other people and the others that they killed, this is where they hatched their plans, this is where they lived, and this is where they spawned, hatched all of their evil ideas. The Spahn Movie Ranch burned down in the early 1970s, and since that time, they have built homes on that site. Now, you mentioned to me that you've driven by that area.
I've driven by. I don't know that I would have known that was the Spahn Ranch area until you told me about it. It's on Santa Susana Pass Road.
That is correct. Now, I'm going to be traveling there tomorrow because I want to scout the area. The idea is very simple. It is there is a lot of money to be made. And I'm asking the state of California, as well as the federal government, for seed money to rebuild and replicate the Spahn Ranch and open it up for tours, lectures, and to show people the Spahn Ranch as it was when Charles Manson was there along with the other individuals. Now, Sharon Atkins, I think was the name.
Susan Atkins.
Susan Atkins was one of the people that was one of the murderers. She just died from a brain tumor, and a couple of them are still alive, though. And if we could get somehow permission from the governor of the state of California, or in the state of Texas, wherever Tex Watson is, to have one of or two or three of them released on work release to help us conduct some of these tours, there's a lot of money to be made.
How does this relate to education?
Well, it relates to education this way. First of all, it's an obvious educational opportunity to look at the Spahn Ranch the way it was when Charles Manson lived there and listen to people talk about it and give a tour. And I'm a teacher, and it will help the government not give that money that they're giving to us. It won't go to someone with a bad idea, and it certainly won't go to the state of California so they can bail out these rich kids who don't want to pay another 32%. I know that 32% is a lot.
Boy, that's a lot of money. It's going to be 10 G's a year to go to a UC campus as opposed to whatever it was, 6,000 something.
10,000 a year, Phil, ain't nothing compared to what I had to spend, what my father spent by sending me to Stanford in inflated dollars, of course.
What was it when you went to Stanford? How much was it?
When I went to Stanford, it was 6,000 a year, but that was a long time ago, and that was unheard of money, unheard of. And of course, I was a kid from a Texas town, and my father had made his money in dry goods and dry goods and sheep farming, and that's when we came west, and he sent me to Stanford. But the public education, I got a great education at Stanford. Public education, the money that I can make with a Spahn Ranch tour is money that is going to be well spent. But the socialists would have us spend it on schools that don't work.
But you're going to have a hard... This is going to be difficult for you to sell this idea because you're going to say, I'd like money to start a Spahn Ranch tour as opposed to it going to schools.
Yeah, but that's the point. I'm an entrepreneur. I want to make money as an entrepreneur. I don't want to take it and not have a return on it. That's why my idea is better. The socialists, though, are going to keep on hammering we need more money for these social programs.
And one of the social programs you're talking about is public education?
If you look at it with a dry eye and you look at it with all honesty and you don't lie to yourself, if you're a good conservative and you're willing not to lie to yourself and you're willing to say, you know something, it's time that I finally sacked up, cinched it up, and look at things dead on. If you're a conservative, you'll say the public education system is a socialist idea. And if they and if they're going to give money to anybody, why don't they give it to an entrepreneur like me?
And how do you what do you say? You say you're an educator?
I'm talking about being an educator. We are you listening to me?
I'm listening to you. Yeah, you're a teacher, and you want.
I'm a teacher, and I want to open up a Spahn Ranch tour. I want to rebuild Spahn Ranch where Charles Manson hatched his ideas about starting a race war with dune buggies and all that other stuff, and give tours. That's educational, and that's an entrepreneurial educational idea, instead of the socialism of giving that money to public schools that you know and I know take it and wipe with it. I'm sorry that I've got to...
Oh, come on.
No, I'm sorry that I have to be so graphic, but you're not listening to what I'm saying.
I'm listening to what you're saying. I just never thought that I would ever hear even a conservative say that public education is socialism.
Any real conservative, and who do I think is a real conservative?
Yeah, tell me, who is a real conservative?
I think the very obvious answer to that, number one, would be Rush Limbaugh. I think.
Well, what do you think Rush Limbaugh thinks?
About what?
About public education.
I don't care what he thinks. I'm a real conservative, and I'm telling you that that is a socialist idea. If I went to Limbaugh and I said public schools are socialist, I'm sure he'd say, you know what, you got something there. You know, maybe he hasn't thought about it. You know, it's, you can fake yourself out with this public school thing and say, oh, yeah, everything's socialism except that. No, no, that is too. What I want to do is take that money that the public schools take and put in the men's and in the women's room so that if people run out, they can always grab a handful of ones and wipe with that.
And oh, quit being stupid, man.
I'm not being stupid. You know as well as I do, Phil. I'm not being stupid. And put that money into a Spahn Ranch exhibit and tour, and you and if you can get one of those people out of prison and have them help you with giving the tours, like, I forget the name of that one woman.
Well, I know Squeaky Fromm. Is she out?
Yeah, Squeaky Fromm. She's out. And they help you with the tour. You give a tour. Here's where Charlie slept. This is, and you can have, if you want, you get the Disney people working on those automatrons, you know, so you have a Manson figure that's moving. Just sort of, you know, I don't know what he would do, you know, smiling and waving or something. But you would have that, and you would have an educational exhibit that people will get a practical look at the Spahn Ranch where Charles Manson and all of the rest of them, with their dune buggies and their weird hair, hatched their ideas for world domination once whites had wiped out blacks and... you know, with dune buggies. I don't know.
You know, his philosophy that I know that it was Vincent Bugliosi.
And you know Bugliosi, don't you?
No, I don't. He's been on the show.
But you know him. You know his wife listens to your show, right?
Mr. Bugliosi told me that his wife listens to the show. But
well, that's what I'm asking you is, if you've got an in with Bugliosi, I can get him out there. And
I doubt seriously if he'd be interested in that.
Why is that?
I just don't know that he'd be interested in standing there at a Spahn Ranch exhibit. I don't know.
It doesn't sound like it's good enough for him, is that what you're saying?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that I don't know whether he'd be interested in doing that. Let's get back to... We'll talk to you... Hold on for just a second, Vernon. Vernon Dozier joining us here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. He's an educator. He works at a private school, and he says pretty much that public education is just another form of socialism, and what he'd like to do is take some of that money that gets sunk into the public system and refurbish or rebuild the Spahn Ranch in Chatsworth, California, where Charles Manson and his followers lived while they were out murdering people, and recreate this thing, bud?
Yeah, he wants to have all the rooms and everything and have Manson there waving high and stuff.
All right, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Are we throwing good money after bad in our public education system, and why not fund an entrepreneur like, well, Mr. Dozier, who wants that money to seed a Spahn Ranch, to rebuild and recreate the Spahn Ranch where Charles Manson lived.
Weird.
Yeah. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. Phil Hendry.
877-876-PHIL. We're speaking with Vernon Dozier here on the Phil Hendry Show. We've been talking about stimulus money, money for education. My understanding is you did go to the government, and Mr. Dozier would like to recreate or refurbish the Spahn Ranch in Chatsworth, California, which is where Charles Manson and his clan lived as they were committing these homicides in Southern California in the 1960s, 1969 specifically. You want this as an educational project?
That is correct, yes.
Did you go to the government for money?
I went to the Obama administration when they first announced the stimulus package, and they said that they had grant money for business. I told them, and I submitted my proposal, and I said that that this would be a $4 million project minimum. And we went through the paperwork. I went back 2 days later and talked to the individuals at, I believe it was Housing Authority, and they came up with $1 million. Now, here is a president who I think for all intents and purposes, in my opinion, is a socialist, who's going to run this country into bankruptcy. He's given money away like water. I come to him with $1 million idea. I mean, we're going to make a lot of money with this idea. And they come up with $1 million. Now, it sounds like a lot of money.
It does sound like a lot of money.
It's a $4 million minimum. That means the overruns could be much, much higher. And this guy comes up with $1 million while they want to shovel money at the UC system, while they want to shovel all this money into abortion clinics.
Well, hold on for a minute here. You're calling him a socialist, but you're gladly taking the $1 million stimulus money.
No. I'm an entrepreneur who wants a hand with $1 million idea. This refurbishing the Spahn Ranch to have people go through and see where Charles Manson lived while he was hatching this plot to run the planet. You know, this people are going to come and see this. And I said this to the representative there from the housing department. And these young liberals that this guy Obama's got working for him are staring right through me as if I'm not even there. And all they can think about is how many more billions of dollars can they drop on some, abortion clinic or a bridge to nowhere or
I don't know what you mean by abortion clinic, you know, but let's take a call.
You know exactly what I mean.
Let's take a phone call. 877-876-PHIL. Is the number here. We'll go over to Cheryl. You're on the Phil Hendry Show here with Vernon Dozier. Go ahead, ma'am.
Mr. Dozier, you need help. Why would you want to recreate something that was so tragic?
I need about $3 million worth
money,
of help.
Why don't you go to Rush and get the money? We're not giving you that. And how many computers could
you
buy?
Well, you have nothing to say about it. I'm talking to the Obama people about
it. How many computers could you buy for the kids with that money? How many computers could you buy for the schools?
Well,
you know, you have this fetish.
You don't.
This weird fetish.
I got a fetish.
You want
this is a $1 million
idea. You want
Obama
idea.
To pay
a for million. Your fetish? You need
He's paying for abortion clinics.
Go
He's paying for abortion
and
clinics.
Get your money. Go to the conservatives and get your
no,
money.
No, not while Obama's so giving the money away.
Talk
not while
to
Obama's
Rush
giving
it. We're not giving
Not while
you
Obama's
nothing.
Giving the money.
We're
now,
not
there's
giving
no
you
we
anything.
In this lady.
That's a
you got nothing
idea.
To say about it.
You're a
You got nothing to say about it.
You're what's wrong with America.
You see, here's what's wrong with this country.
You're sick.
Here's a woman who loves Obama so much she thinks he's Jesus.
You
and
need
she,
help.
She's pulling the string.
All right, hold on.
All right, well, thank you for the conversation, lady.
You need help. Get help,
is,
sir.
Yeah.
Get
help. How do you spell help? H-E-P?
Well, you hear what she's saying.
First of all, she got this wee thing going like she's got a turd in her pocket. Secondly, when I said that I was...
Watch your language, will you?
When I said that I went to Obama and his socialist buddies because I wanted a loan for a business... They're looking at me like, you mean you don't want to build another abortion clinic? Or you?
What is it with you and abortion clinics?
Because that's what his health plan wants to do.
No, it is. I want to stay off of that, man, because your information is all wrong, okay?
He wants to start building hospitals with taxpayers. I said, how are you going to make money on that? I said that you could have the Spahn Ranch exhibit. And, of course, they didn't know what that was, so I had to get...
Hold on for a minute, man. 877-876-PHIL. Just take a breather. John in Los Angeles. Go ahead, John. You're on with Vernon Dozier and Phil Hendry.
Yeah, I just want to say I disagree with most everything that this Dozier chap has to offer us. I think he's offering himself a lot. But when he talks about socialism in such negative terms, I think it prove that
well, everybody,
he's,
everyone knows that socialism is bad.
Please don't interrupt me, sir. When he talks about socialism in such negative terms, it proves that he's as anti-social as Manson ever was.
I'm anti-socialist, but I want to make some money off of the Spahn Ranch. And the Spahn Ranch, for me, will make up for what Manson did.
We'll be back, 877-876-PHIL.
Phil Hendry. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. The number is 877-876-PHIL. As we talk with Vernon Dozier from Belmar Academy, an educator as well as a member of the board of administrators there. You know, you've been talking an awful lot here, Vernon, about socialism. You include into that package the idea of public education as a socialist idea. And the last caller that you wouldn't listen to had a very good point. He said, why is socialism necessarily bad? Now, before you answer, okay?
All right.
You are a conservative, but you want the government to take some of the stimulus money and give it to you so you can build a replica of the Spahn Ranch where Charles Manson lived with the people that that helped him commit these murders as an educational site for people to visit.
That's right, yeah. And also, Phil, as a place of healing, I forgot that was the one part that I forgot to tell you about, because we've got printed material here that we have sent to different agencies. I talked to this guy here in Chatsworth, Congressman Brad Sherman, who's he's a socialist congressman here from Chatsworth, and yet I gave it a shot. I don't prejudge people. I went in, I called him a socialist.
I guess you have prejudged him, huh?
He's a Democrat. And these days, that's the same thing as far as, but I didn't prejudge him. I went in and I said, Mr. Congressman, I've got an idea. I got $1 million idea that we stand to make a lot of money, if we recreate the Spahn Ranch where Charles Manson lived, and we have different exhibits. This is where he slept. Here's where they dropped their drugs, or they smoked whatever they smoked. And this guy looks at me and says, you know, have you got money? I said, I got $1 million. It's going to be at least $4 million. And he'd rather fund an abortion clinic.
Is that what he told you?
No, but you know full well that's what he'd rather do. That's all these guys want to do with that money. But give it to an entrepreneur like me. This Spahn Ranch, we could make a lot of money. And all I have to do is get these people to understand that while they're shoveling money into abortion clinics and into Acorn, because you know it's going to them, don't you? So they can feed a homeless guy and get him sobered up long enough so he can go out and register voters. I mean,
oh boy, you are making some real charges.
Are you telling me that Acorn ain't crooked? And people are telling me I want money so I can show people and recreate the experience of living at the Spahn Ranch with Charlie and the girls and however they did it, which would be an interesting experience. No, what they want to do is pour money into Acorn so they can sober up enough tramps to go out and register voters.
You got a real angry streak in you, man, you know.
What do you mean angry? I'm talking about a moneymaker. This is a money-making idea.
You may say it's a money-making idea. At the same time, you talk about socialism, and I don't see how the two things go together as a conservative asking the government for money. Here's Robert on the Phil Hendry Show with Vernon Dozier. Go ahead, Robert.
Hey, how you doing this morning, man?
Fine.
Hey,
thank you very much.
So this guy's talking about socialism, but he want to idolize, make some kind of ranch to idolize the murderers who's killing people, and then next thing you know, he's going to want to idolize the guy who did the murders down at Fort Hood.
No. This is Charles Manson. You ever heard of him? This is a historic site. This is where he lived.
If it's such a socialism, how come the employment in the United States is created by public school education?
I'm gonna be putting people to work, rebuilding the Spahn Ranch and showing people what it was like for Charles Manson to plan out, killing people. And I'll be putting people to work, and we'll have tour guides, and we'll have a restaurant on site.
Yeah, you're gonna have a million, spending $1 million to do that and put the other $2 million in your pocket. you're entrepreneur, all right.
You want to know why? You know why you're angry? You're angry because you didn't think of it. I did. See, that's the difference between you and me, sir. I've got ideas, and you
too bright. If that's the biggest idea you got, man.
You know, it's easy to sit on the sidelines and tell a guy that his idea. Are you kidding me? This is a moneymaker.
Well, let me ask you something, Vernon. You say
I make good money. I go out and go to work every day. Why don't you go out and get a job?
I don't want to get. I'm getting this job. This job, I'm going to make more money than you've ever seen. I'm going to make more money than you ever thought was possible. And you're mad because you didn't think of it. I did. I went to the government. And, you know, they gave me $1 million.
They gave you $1 million. You want more.
That you're calling socialist and asking for a handout,
yeah.
But you don't want to feed homeless people. Come on, dude.
This is it. Dude, why do I
you
give money to
feed
homeless
people?
What's the return on that?
You don't want to feed homeless people, but you want
what's
your
the
government
return on
to
give
that? You money.
What's the return on feeding homeless people? What do I get back for my investment putting money into a bum?
Oh, hey, come on, will you?
No, I want to know.
Hey, look. We dumped $10 million worth of food over in Iraq after we blew them up. What was that all about?
You got to feed them after you blow them up, don't you? Now, you're
well,
telling me
people,
that I
got
to feed,
we got
I gotta feed some guy here in the United
security.
States.
That's right.
I got
now, we won't give him a Social Security check.
There's no
return. We don't want to give them welfare food stamps, so we feed them.
You see what I'm saying, Phil? Here's a guy, he wants to just drop money down a rat hole. I want to build whatever the hell it's called.
The money dropped at him.
No, you want to drop money down about a. You want to open up a tramp's mouth and pour money into it.
And you
want
to open
what,
up,
what is with the tramp
open,
thing?
You want to open up a murderer's museum.
Have you ever heard of the Hollywood Wax Museum? Thank you. What do you think they got in that? They got the Jack the Ripper, whatever the hell he was called. They got that other guy. You've never seen Jack.
We talked about a dude who actually killed.
Hey, dude. Oh, man. I can't believe this guy. He thinks Jack the Ripper was. You're telling me Jack.
About that?
Jack the Ripper is make believe? That guy actually existed.
Yeah.
And so did that other one. The guy. Who's the guy that killed?
Well, you know what?
What about King Kong? Wasn't that?
King Kong? King Kong didn't exist.
You know something, buddy? You're upset because I got a $1 million idea. And you blew it. Now you got to go back to your job tomorrow, pushing buttons on an elevator. Me? I'm going to be sitting fat. Wait till I put that restaurant in.
I build the elevators, buddy. I build the high rises and elevators. And I went to public school to get my education. Thank you.
You don't build them. You don't build them. You work for a guy that builds them. Me? I'm going to be the guy doing it.
I'm actually hands-on.
I know. Yeah. But are you trying to tell me that you're the guy that owns it? No. Me, I'm going to put a restaurant in.
What is this with you putting a restaurant in this? This is the home of a murderer, is that right?
This is where the murderers live.
And you're going to put a restaurant in there?
People, what's the point?
What's the point? Who's going to want to sit down and eat, man, after sitting there and looking at where Charles Manson lived, who murdered all these people?
It's going to be are you telling me that you guys have never been to Disneyland?
What is that about that, man?
Are you telling me you've never... Have you never been to Disneyland and you gone into the Haunted Mansion and you come out and what do you get? Popcorn. Did that put you off your food? No. And yet it's a mansion that's haunted with dead people. Well, the same thing holds true.
Wait a minute, man. The Haunted Mansion is a place that's a make-believe ghost place, okay? The Spahn Ranch is a place where a murderer actually lived.
Yeah,
and there's
right.
a big difference between me going in and...
Hey, what is this guy in Nashville talking for? You thought Jack the Ripper was made up. And, if you think Jack the Ripper's made up, maybe you think that King Kong was made up. Maybe you think that a lot of other things that were historic...
King Kong was made up, thank you.
Hey, hold on for a minute. Did you say that Jack the Ripper was made up? Yes, you did.
I said King Kong was made up. You said a wax museum.
Oh,
this is just fake.
Wow.
I guess you're going to put on the orgies and all the drug smoking and dope shooting that was going on there, too, right?
So You have dummies that are dressed like them.
Wait a minute. Did you think King Kong actually happened?
Wait a minute.
Yeah, he thought King Kong actually happened.
King Kong did happen. King Kong, you're telling me they didn't bring a giant ape over? That was in the news. The other idea here
No, it was not in the news. That never happened, okay? And what do you mean you're going to have dummies?
King Kong. Kong did happen. They had a documentary on it, unless I'm mistaken. But then this guy said that Jack the Ripper...
The man was talking about how the wax museum are wax figures of they're not real people.
Well, I ain't going to have the real Charles Manson. He's
in
prison.
You just said you want to get him out of jail and bring him down there and let him work on work release. Now we're going to give murderers jobs. We don't want to give people, artists, citizens jobs, but you're going to go down and get people out of jail and get them jobs. Come on, quit being an idiot, man.
Oh, you know, this is a socialist for you. You come up with a great business idea, and they say you're an idiot. But what would they rather do? They'd rather take your money and give away condoms to Native Americans.
That's right, because we don't want AIDS all over the United States like it is everywhere else.
Well, here's a good idea. We don't want AIDS. If we don't want AIDS all over the United States, good idea to you.
Give out more condoms. Matter of fact, we ought to take the $4 million you want and buy some more condoms.
Ain't that just like a socialist? Ain't that just like a socialist?
Give other countries food.
You know something what kills me is this guy wants to take $10 million and he wants to drop it into a rattle.
Why don't you spend your 401k on that idea since it's so bright? Why don't you spend your retirement money on it?
He didn't say KY. He said 401k.
Here's a guy that's talking about rubbers and lubricant. Oh, my.
He didn't say that. He said 401k.
Why don't you spend your 401k money on that? This
you
is
know
so
something?
Bright,
just like a socialist to
back.
Say a good idea, forget it. There's no talking to a socialist. He wants to invest in rubbers to give them out to who? Guys that play ball hockey?
All right. Anyway, thanks for your call, sir. 877-87, that's Robert. And it's a good caller, Robert. I appreciate it because I think the man made some very good points. I hate to be the one to say that you're not delivering your case very well.
But that's what you're saying, right?
Yeah, because, I mean, when you say that someone's a socialist, then you want their money.
That guy wanted to take my money and buy rubbers. How do you not see how stupid that is?
I don't necessarily agree with him on that. But for you to take $4 million and put it into a Spahn Ranch exhibit... and have Charlie and the gang get out of prison on work release to give you guided tours.
And then he says to me, Jack the Ripper didn't exist. And then I said, yes, he did, but King Kong did. And he says to me, King Kong didn't. You're telling me, tell me about King Kong. He didn't exist.
No, he didn't exist. Are you crazy or something?
No, I'm not crazy. You're telling me that that's a wild idea that a monkey was shipped over.
That climbed up the Empire State Building and batted airplanes out of the sky and then fell and all of that?
I'm not talking about that. That was made up.
Oh, come on, will you, man? 877-876-PHIL is the number here in the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Do we put the stimulus money into public projects? Do we put it into public education? Do we buy condoms for people? Do we put it into an anti-HIV program? Or do we give it to Mr. Dozier here, who wants to build a replica of the Spahn Ranch where Charles Manson lived so he can give guided tours and, they'll have an on-site restaurant? 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back on a world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
You've misrepresented everything I've said.
Phil Hendry.
Last few minutes here with Vernon Dozier from Belmar Academy, whose idea to replicate the Spahn Ranch, which was the place where Manson and his followers lived before they and during their homicidal spree here in Southern California. Where the Spahn Ranch is located, Mr. Dozier, is in Chatsworth. There are homes there.
That is correct.
What do you plan on doing with those homes?
Those homes can be eminent domain through the stimulus package. We would offer fair market value to the people who live in them and get them out as quickly as possible. And begin construction no later than the spring of 2011. Now,
and you think the people there are just going to take the price, huh?
They will take the price if this socialist president we've got gets off the dime and begins to seed businessmen and entrepreneurs like me with money instead of investing it in a condom company where you get no return, or this guy, like I told you, this Sherman, who wants to build you know, places where homeless people can get a back rub.
Oh, quit being stupid, okay?
Well, everybody else is being stupid. People are talking to me about investing condoms and give out hot lunches to winos. My whole thing is...
And be a little more respectful?
Mr. Hendry, my whole idea, I want to put a restaurant on the Spawn Ranch site, so you go, you take the tour, and let me tell you something else about the restaurant which you poo-pooed. Have you been to the Holocaust Museum, sir?
Yes, I have.
Well, then you know they got a snack bar there.
I don't know that, no.
Well, would you believe me if I told you they did? Because I ate at their snack bar. I was in the Holocaust Museum.
I don't know how you'd be able to eat.
Well, I got hungry. And I think there's something to be said, and I don't mean to be disrespectful, but when you see the numbers of people that were in the exhibits that were as thin as they were, you begin to appreciate something like some cheese on tortilla chips or anything like that. And I went and I got some of that pump cheese on some tortilla chips after seeing all of the skinny people. But my whole thing...
God almighty.
What does God almighty mean?
I'm flabbergasted, and...
Do you think the idea of the Spawn Ranch is a good idea or not?
I don't think a restaurant there is such a great idea, and I really think that your idea of eminent domaining a person's home so you can put in a Spawn Ranch replication and give guided tours of where Charlie and the girls partied and dropped acid, I really don't know whether you're going to make any money on that.
This is a billion-dollar idea. We're going to make a lot of money with this. Boy, are you going to be...
877-876-PHIL is the number. Let's go to another phone call. We have Israel in El Paso. Israel, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Vernon Dozier. Go ahead, sir.
Hi, hello, Mr. Dozier. How are you
doing, sir,
today?
I'm doing very well, considering. Thank you very much for asking.
Fantastic, fantastic. First of all, Mr., let's make a restaurant for Charlie Manson and his whole crazy thing. I think that's out of control.
Mr. Dozier, I think you had it right the first time.
Okay, yeah, Mr. Dozier, but I'm just saying for Mr. The caller before me that was saying all this thing about that he has a billion-dollar idea by somehow...
That's me. You're talking to me.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. Then that's you. Well, you know what? I think that's a crazy idea. I don't think... First of all, Charlie Manson, I understand everything. You know, I understand the way of the wolf. I understand everything that he says. But at the same time, I don't think that, you know, it's correct for you to go and, you know, have a bunch of people murdered for no reason and, you know, whatever.
I don't think it's right either. I don't agree with that either. It's a historic
site. That's not even the case. That's not even the case. However, if you're saying that, you know, not giving prophylactics to teenagers or to just anybody in general, I think that, you know... that goes to show how negligent you are of what's really going on in America or what's really
If I could say something here, you sound like the kind of young guy that would enjoy going to a replication of the Spawn Ranch and watching, you know, what the whole thing.
And well, your assumptions...
A Starbucks that's interested.
Your assumptions are incorrect. First of all, I don't like to drink coffee because of all the caffeine that's in it. And I know that, you know, you can get... coffee without, you know, that's decaffeinated, but I just think it's crazy.
Well, we're going to put a coffee stand in, and you sound like the kind of young man that would be, you don't want to see. There's another thing that we were going to do, Phil.
Well, first of all,
Shorty Shea, we have a replication.
You are stereotyping me.
Shorty Shea's dropping, and then another part of the park where his cut-up body is laid in a, what is he saying?
What will you listen to the caller? He says you're stereotyping him because he sounds like the kind of guy that would dig Manson.
I didn't say dig. I said he would be interested in Charlie and the girls. And I'm telling you, what's your name, Israel? Israel, we've got a whole... This is $1 million. This is going to make a lot of money. We've got a coffee hut. You know,
you're a sham. You're a sham. If you can only listen to yourself, it's just...
You sound like the kind of guy that stands outside the concert hall and gets a contact high because, you know, you ran out of money, when you were the bus fare from El Paso to Austin. I don't know what I'm saying.
No, I don't think you do know what you're saying, other than insulting this young man. And the fact of the matter is...
No idea
what do you mean, a coffee hut?
I went to Auschwitz, and they had a Shoah coffee hut right near the parking lot.
Okay, well, we're obviously talking to somebody that is either belligerent or totally...
No, sir, I'm not belligerent at all. I'm a man who knows a million-dollar idea when I see it, when I smell it, when I feel it, when I put it in my hands, and I roll it around,
okay, well,
and I realize that's not a turd.
You're talking about a million-dollar idea. Now, let's go back to the real case at hand. Right now, earlier, you guys were talking about, you know, giving prophylactics to children.
How do you make money on that? How do you make money on that? You're not going to make money giving out prophylactics to a kid.
You know how you make money because you make money because you prevent people from catching diseases, and you prevent people from having fun.
Phil Hendry. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
The services, the Army commander, the SOC commander, chose to send them all to court-martial.
Some parents picking up their kids from North Naples Middle School are stunned.
The president of the Italian-American organization Unico finds the new show offensive.
Science is not in.
It is in.
No.
Stuart, quit saying that.
Where's my retarded baby?
You blew it!
The boys call it ball tapping.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show. News, talk, and entertainment radio where reality is the bitch. And this, a trip to the looking glass of media, the Alice in Wonderland of talk radio, which Bud thinks is a gay line. I think it's great.
Sounds gay.
Welcome back to our program, our number 877-876-PHIL. By the way, you know, we mentioned we have listeners of ours who not only listen to us around the world, but watch us around the world. We had a Twitter or an email tonight, Bud. What was it?
There's a guy on a Twitter, and he's over in England and everything.
There's a guy in England watching us right now on our live streaming video. So you can watch us as well as listen to us every single night at our website, philhenryshow.com. That's philhenryshow.com. And, of course, the next day we have the video on demand for up to 5 days. So you can watch whatever shows you missed. We keep up to a week's worth of video on demand. And we have all of the shows that we do available in our archives, all of them downloadable so that you can pull it onto the old iPod and check it out there. Now, this hour, we have Dr. Ron Tarner with us. This is a very, very interesting story. This broke about 3 days ago. We didn't deal with it at the time because we wanted everybody to get up to speed on it. And perhaps now many of you have heard, but climate emails stoke debate is the headline. You got to understand something. A computer was hacked someplace, and we'll find out where, and these emails being exchanged by global warming advocates were hacked and disseminated, and some apparently or allegedly indicate that there's a lot of, as they say, cooking of the science going on. There's a little bit of a game being played. That's what the allegation is. Now, the scientific community is buzzing over thousands of emails and documents posted on the Internet last week after being hacked from a prominent climate change research center that some say raise ethical questions about a group of scientists who contend humans are responsible for global warming. The correspondence between dozens of climate change researchers, including many in the United States, illustrates bitter feelings among those who believe human activities cause global warming toward rivals who argue that the link between humans and climate change remains uncertain. Some emails also refer to efforts by scientists who believe man is causing global warming to exclude contrary views from important scientific publications. In all, more than 1,000 emails and more than 2,000 other documents were stolen last Thursday from the Climate Research Unit at East Anglia University in the United Kingdom. The identity of the hackers isn't certain, but the files were posted on a Russian file-sharing server late Thursday, and university officials confirmed over the weekend that their computer had been attacked, and said the documents appear to be genuine. I got a stinking hunch. I don't know. Who's that guy? Haval, you know?
What guy?
That guy that runs Czechoslovakia, or what is it called?
Yeah, Czechoslovakia.
No, they don't have that no more.
Czech Republic. You think that guy is involved?
Could be. He's been vocal about it and everything, and he even said that he thought they were not douchebags, but something like that.
Well, he didn't call them douchebags, but all right, we're going to have Dr. Ron Tarner come on. Dr. Tarner is going to talk with us about this, but before we bring on Dr. Tarner, and I don't practice any kind of... I don't like to do ambush journalism. I don't think there's anything to be proven by it. I think it's along the same lines as playing math games with like an infant or something. You know, you just got all the cards are stacked. But I do want to read one of the emails that was hacked. And I would ask you to keep Dr. Tarner on hold during this, bud.
Right.
Here is an email that was hacked, and it is between Dr. Ron Tarner, our guest, and a man by the name of Dr. James Roderick with Global Climb Evaluation in Portland, Oregon. Dear Jim, we have to find an animal that will elicit emotion as well as action. I suggest the polar bear and an alarmist message as to their habitat, the dwindling ice, and the fact that more and more polar bears having to abandon ice floes and habitat and swim to other habitat. Wait till they get a load of this. This is gold. Ron Tarner, Mountain Meadow Observatory. Let's bring on now Dr. Ron Tarner from Mountain Meadow Observatory. And like I said, I don't like to practice ambush journalism, but this is one of the emails that was hacked. You admitted this had been hacked.
Phil, you know, I will say to your audience, I'll say it to your face. I think you say you don't like to practice ambush journalism. What you just did to me was unfair, and you did not give me any opportunity to set up what that email was about.
Well, all right, I'm giving you that opportunity now. You know.
Well, but the poison pen, if you will, is already out there, and you're asking me now to explain to your audience what. That I wrote an email.
You wrote this email to a colleague, right?
I wrote that email to Jim Roderick, who is a very good friend of mine. And again, Jim is deeply involved in global climate change research. And what I was saying to him was that we need, obviously, a public relations campaign to motivate more and more people, particularly school-age children, to the global climate change argument.
But what you're suggesting in this email is that you find an animal that elicits emotion, and wait till they get a load of this. This is gold.
We are in a very, very serious situation with regard to global warming, and you can play the games that you want to play, Phil, as the people that hacked into the computer are going to play their games. We are in dire straits.
Are we really in dire straits, or is it now a political game that you guys are playing?
We're not playing any political game, Phil. I'm a scientist, and there are thousands, if not millions, of scientists around the world that are involved in this research. And what happened here is that the purpose was releasing these emails, they are trying to discredit good scientists. We care about the environment. We're fixing the problem before it occurs.
Okay, you know, you're Dr. Tarner, not to interrupt you, sir.
Well, that's what you've been doing here for the last 10 minutes.
No, but, sir, you say that you are fixing the problem before it occurs. You spent the last 5 minutes stumbling through your explanation.
I'm not stumbling through any explanation, Mr. Henry. You asked me what it is that we are doing for climate change.
I'm asking you to directly address this email, one of thousands, according to the story, that were hacked.
Yeah, they were hacked. They were criminally removed from a central database, criminally disseminated. It is invasion not only of privacy, it is probably violates every kind of corporate espionage statute on the books of the world. It is a torturous business practice. I don't know if there are enough years on the calendar to cover the penal punishment that would be given out to an individual convicted of the many crimes that have been committed here.
But the fact is that even our Supreme Court has ruled information that is even come by way of an illegal act is still public information and should be publicly disseminated. So we have to address these global climate change emails. There's a lot of them that seem to indicate that you guys are phonying up some of the science.
Well, hold on for a minute. What do you mean Supreme Court has ruled? I'm a scientist, and I am a very good scientist. I'm not here to talk about myself necessarily. I'm here to defend a lot of very good men and women who are trying to keep a disaster from happening and before it happens.
Well, that's what I'm trying to say.
Allow me to finish. Before it happens. And when you put on the air an email that was stolen from a central database to a colleague, we are talking about scientific data. We are talking about issues that the average person could not hope to understand.
And Dr. Tarner, you're talking here.
You keep focusing on the emails, but that's not the point of all this. The point is scientists know global warming is going to happen soon, even if we don't have the evidence. You need to trust the scientific community.
So you're admitting there is no evidence?
No, I am not. I'm not admitting that. I'm saying you need to remember who you are, remember who I am. You do what you do, I do what I do.
What do you do, sir?
Mr. Henry, your dramatics are not impressive.
What do you do? You're a scientist, so what do you do?
I'm trying to keep the Earth from being destroyed by irresponsible individuals and entities and corporations and countries that will destroy it. I'm trying to keep that from happening.
But you said there's no evidence, no real evidence, that man-made global warming exists or that we have any kind of a crisis on our hands. You said we need to trust you.
I am a scientist. I've been working in the field for decades. This gentleman, Jim Roderick, other men that I know, other women that I know, but not as many women working on it because you don't have as many women involved in this as we would like. I'd love to see more women involved, but it's a very difficult topic to grasp, but we're going at breakneck speed to keep the Earth from being destroyed by no atmosphere, a sun that's out of control, gas that chokes and kills everything in its wake, and that's what you'd like to see happen.
No, I don't want to see that happen. I just want to know whether or not it's going to happen.
I know it's going to happen. Jim Roderick knows it's going to happen. Dr. Hans Beck knows it's going to happen. Dr. William Glover knows it's going to happen. All of these men and some women have been working on this for decades.
You have no evidence, and these emails prove that you have no evidence, sir. Isn't that the case?
Are you asking me a question, sir, or are you telling me?
I'm asking you. I have an email here.
We're going to have the evidence, and you questioning me, a scientist, I find laughable, sir. I really do.
All right, well, excuse me, because I'm not a scientist, you know.
And don't make it out like I'm some kind of a pumped-up, overinflated stuffed shirt of an ass, because I'm not. The email that I wrote to Jim Roderick...
The email you wrote to Jim Roderick says, wait till they get a load of this. This is gold.
The guys that we're talking to about it.
All right, hold the line. Dr. Ron Tarner. Dr. Tarner had one of his emails hacked, and he is now telling us that the global warming crisis, he sure is going to be coming our way. They don't have the evidence. We need to trust them. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show, back with Dr. Ron Tarner on the climate change email controversy. Also, these comments from Ed Begley, Jr., which are interesting. We'll replay for you when we come back.
Very, very unfair. Very unfair.
Phil Henry.
She's an ass.
It's the Phil Henry Show.
And we're on with Dr. Ron Tarner as we talk about the email debacle concerning global climate change. A computer in Great Britain hacked into thousands of emails released that seem to indicate there is a research that's being held back, that global climate change advocates are being discriminatory when it comes to releasing information in their publications, their scientific publications. They're keeping anybody with a contrary view from expressing their point of view. We have Dr. Ron Turner on with us from the Mountain Meadow Observatory in Cloquet, Colorado. And we have one of your emails that got hacked in which you say we need to come up with a... Basically, you're asking for a warm and fuzzy animal to get kids motivated, the polar bear.
Phil, you know, you keep focusing on the emails, and the emails, that's not the point of all this, if I may. I've been listening to you now telling me about emails. The point is, scientists know that global warming is going to happen soon, even if we don't yet have the evidence, but you've got to trust us on this.
And what do you mean we have to trust you on this?
If you, I'm sure that you have seen, and I hope that your audience will take the time to see 2012, another terrific movie, The Day After Tomorrow. Even Hollywood knows we're on the verge of a major global climate catastrophe, yet you're trying to keep your audience in the dark. And
But rather than telling my audience to go see movies... Why don't we talk about some of the science here?
Well, I don't want to insult you. I don't want to insult your audience. I think 2012 and The Day After Tomorrow is the kind of vehicle that people who listen to these talk shows that we're doing right now will understand.
So, in other words, the evidence that you say you have or that you don't have but you will soon have about global climate change, you don't want to tell us?
And Phil, I could talk to you about the data that I work with. But it would be, I'm looking for a comparison. It's as if you saw the show Life Goes On with that young boy, Corky. You remember that?
Yes, I remember that.
The young boy with Down syndrome.
Yeah.
It would be as if I was trying to explain it to Corky, me explaining it to you. I'm not saying you're not an intelligent man. But I don't know how an audience of warehousemen and truck drivers and people listening tonight that are at an all-night newsstand, I don't know how you're trying to tell me with a straight face that I'm going to review the data that I've got with them. And I don't...
Well, you're insulting my audience now. So what you're basically doing...
I am not insulting your audience. You insulted me by reading an email that was confidential. You insulted me by reading an email that was between two colleagues. You can't hope to understand what's in that email.
Dr. Turner, your email says we will elicit sympathy if we use a polar bear and an alarmist message. Wait till they get a load of this. This is gold.
Wait till they get a load of this? I didn't understand what you're saying, load. What does that mean?
Wait till they get a load of this. I misspoke.
Well, if that's the kind of misspeaking you do, no one could hope to understand...
Wait till they get a load of this. This is gold. Is a basic message of subterfuge or confusion. You're looking to propagandize.
Those are pretty big words, Phil. But do you know what they mean? I have science, real science, that will soon be in my hands. It will soon be in the hands of scientists all over the world.
But you don't have it yet. That much my audience can understand. 877-876-PHIL. Let's go over to... Javar, I think, in Charlotte, North Carolina. Sir, you're on with Dr. Ron Turner. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. I have a question regarding this whole global warming movement.
Uh-huh.
He says that we should trust him, but by his emails, he's already admitted that they don't have enough evidence.
We are going to have... your name is Javar, sir. This is Dr. Turner. Is your name Javar?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. We will have that evidence very soon. You need to trust me. I'm a scientist. Dr. James Roderick, he's a scientist. This is stuff that is a little bit over maybe your head, maybe Mr. Hendry's head. But we'll have it. Don't worry.
But you don't have it yet. Okay?
What difference does it make if I had it? Are you two guys going to understand it? Are you saying to me, Mr. Hendry, that you and this caller will understand?
But I still have question. Where's the evidence?
Javar, if I presented you with evidence of global warming, it would read like Chinese to you.
You haven't presented
what is
any
that?
Evidence. Evidence?
Yes, sir, you're right. But the evidence that will soon be coming, the evidence that we know will be in our hands very soon, will be like Mongolia. You won't understand it. It will be as if... It will be as if I was speaking Swahili, I could say to you, here's the evidence of global warming. What does that mean? You don't know.
Oh, come on. You can't...
The gentleman's phone is breaking up.
Science is investigating, right?
Yes, of course it's investigating.
Okay, you any true, solid evidence to support global warming. You already have an agenda, right? You said you care about the environment.
Yes,
right?
We do. Yes, of course we do. Very much so. I'd give my life for the environment.
The whole point, you approach a situation with a certain perspective, and you let that affect your outcome in your research, and not what the evidence or the result of your research.
I'll tell you what, I've got a great thing. If you go see The Day After Tomorrow, it's a great talking picture.
Don't tell him to go see a movie. We're not talking about going to see a movie, man. We want to know what the science is.
The Day After Tomorrow.
What do you think I am, Mr. Wizard? Well, I'm going to sit here with you two guys.
Okay,
the evidence will be... I wrote one email. I wrote an email that was robbed from me by these hackers, yes.
But you wrote it, right?
But the guy stole it, and so that makes it even worse than what I wrote.
All right, listen, Havar, thank you. Absolutely. 877-876-PHIL. Dr. Ron Tarner back on this global warming hoax, possibly. Phil Hendry Show.
It's not a hoax.
Phil Hendry.
I said it's not a hoax. Are we on the air? Are we on the air?
Phil Hendry.
877-876-PHIL, the number here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We are talking here in the final segment of the show about these global climate change emails that were hacked from this research center in the United Kingdom and Great Britain and were disseminated, spread throughout the world, that seem to indicate the global climate, man-made global climate change argument is somehow being either concocted or it is being unfairly boosted at the expense of those who might have a contrary view. Dr. Tarner, we've read one of your emails.
You know, Phil, I'm going to say something to you, and you bring these emails up, which was out of context. You bring up my email, completely out of context. If I took one of your emails between you and your producer, I forget the gentleman's name.
Rance.
Between you and Rance, if I took some of your emails, I could probably use them to make the two of you look like gay lovers, as if you're having a homosexual partnership. It would be easy enough to do.
No, it wouldn't be easy enough to do, man.
Well, you take anything out of context.
I read your email from beginning to end, and I can read it again.
It doesn't make any difference. You could read it from beginning to end. That's not the point. The emails are not the point. The point is global climate change is man-made. We will have the evidence very soon. And you questioning the scientific community, forgive me, I'm a scientist. I have many years of academic research under my belt. I'd like to ask your audience a question right now. Are you going to trust me, or are you going to trust a talk radio host who, my understanding is, didn't even finish college? Is that right, Mr. Henry?
No, I didn't finish college. You're right.
Well, then, where do you get, to use the colloquial phrase, where do you get your pair big enough to challenge Dr. Ron Tarner about Meadow? I have respected the scientific community. I am into some research that's about to explode. I am maximizing my potentialities. This stuff's going to explode. You wait.
Well, you know what? What's going to explode? The Earth?
Yes, the Earth will explode, but the evidence that we have to keep it from exploding, the evidence that we have that it will explode will keep it from exploding. You wait.
I'm not going to wait, because that's the whole point.
I'm a scientist. You'll wait.
Well, I'm sorry, sir. We don't live in a dictatorship of scientists. We live in the ultimate dictatorship, the dictatorship of the people. Here is Mike in Massachusetts. Mike, you're on with Dr. Ron Tarner from Mountain Meadow Observatory. Go ahead.
Good evening, Phil, or good morning, should I say.
Good evening. Yeah, good morning to you.
I'm sitting here listening to you, and I really just, you know, don't normally call in, but it was just one of those things where I just couldn't believe how you know, he wants to sit here, the doctor wants to say that how dare anybody question his credentials or, you know, his soon-to-have information. And there's no possible way we could even begin to even, you know, understand, you know, none, you know, and have the intelligence, the you know, an inkling of the intelligence to you know, grasp, you know, his research.
It sounds very elitist. It sounds very elitist.
Do you want me to lie to you, Phil? Do you want me to lie to you and your callers and say, oh, sure, as soon as I get the global climate change evidence, I'll present it to you, and you'll understand it as if you're reading C-Spot Run. It ain't going to happen. You need to trust that. What? You know.
Doctor, I think that, you know, I think that the, you know, I think people a chance, they can surprise you.
Did you see the TV show Life Goes On? Do you remember Corky?
No, I've also.
Will you knock it off with Corky?
I've seen the Terminator, you know, so am I supposed to believe that robots are going to, AI is going to come alive and try to wipe out mankind?
No, no.
You know, I'm saying
in Life Goes On, Corky had Down syndrome, and if, for me to explain to you life, the global climate
don't
change.
Don't even try to insult
you
my intelligence, okay?
I'm not.
I'm a technical field. And I trust me, I could I could make sense of what the information that you, if I had an opportunity.
I want to give an example of the emails. Mr. Henry read one of my emails. Here's an email between Mr. Henry and Runtz, his producer.
My producer's name is Rance. You don't have our emails.
Dear Jason, you have a hot ass. Love, Phil.
Now,
well, that was never
lie.
Written by me.
I'm sure that's
that
a
was
lie,
never
you know.
That was ne- that wasn't written by me.
Well, you know something, I could say that was written by you. And
are you denying that you wrote this email to?
The facts are the facts, sir, and I'm sure that a lot of people, a lot of information that's gathered through emails, whether it's, you know, conversations between criminal associations or, you know, even the operations of our government, you know, i.e. Watergate and things like that. I'm sure those people weren't happy that those emails became public either, but the facts
are
the facts.
Good point.
And,
They didn't have email during Watergate. Oh, man.
Either way, the
well, you know what he's talking about.
Oh, my God.
You know what he's talking about. God.
Taking apart, you know,
like
every little defense.
I love it. You're trying to tell me my business. You're telling me they had emails at the time of Watergate.
I'm not trying to tell your business.
Wow.
I'm asking you for a fair opportunity to look at the facts, examine
right.
the evidence, and make my own educated opinion and, you know, and go from there.
Well, do you read the Bible?
You know, fair opportunity.
All right, listen, Mike. I've worked a long time on this research. You're asking me to take
that,
research.
And I respect
that you're asking me to take. You're asking me to take the research that I've worked on, and to basically throw it into the street, so that a horse and carriage can crap on it and then roll over it.
No, sir. I'm
Why?
Not asking you to.
That's,
I'm not
well, that's
you
what
to
would
present
happen.
It in any certain
what?
Way. I'm just asking you to present it as is. And
that's what would
that
happen if I presented you.
People that are interested in knowing the facts will look at that. And those that can understand it will understand it, and those that can't will seek
well,
to understand
it. And you know the frightening thing, Phil, the frightening thing, and I guess we have some things to be thankful for. If I had finally gotten the evidence that we know is on its way, we know it'll be here.
Yeah
but you don't have it yet.
Don't worry about it. Okay.
Trust me, I'm going to win the lottery, and we're all going to be rich.
Yeah, sure.
Well, why is that any harder to believe than you saying that there's evidence of global warming?
I'm a volcano. I'm surrounded by ants. Not you guys, but if Sarah Palin had been elected president and I'd come to her with this evidence, I might as well
be
have
a lot better
it.
Off if she
I,
was elected
I might as well I might as well give it. I might as well give it to an Aboriginal Bushman playing a didgeridoo.
Wow. Wow.
Wow. Wow.
Well, you asked me a question.
So Sarah Palin is basically a Stone Age person.
Giving global warming science.
Thank you very much, sir, for your call. 877-876-PHIL. The arrogance, Dr. Tarner.
What arrogance?
If you give Sarah Palin the global warming evidence, you might as well give it to an Aboriginal Bushman playing a didgeridoo.
Well, I don't know how she spends... Yeah, some Aboriginal sitting on a rock, squatting on a rock, blowing into a big horn. What purpose? You know, did you see Priscilla, Queen of the Desert?
You know, you really got a thing with these movies, man.
Did you or did you not see it?
Yes, I did see it.
All right. Remember they were tracking the satellites over Australia? And they had a radio... That was the right stuff.
You know something? You haven't...
I don't go to movies.
Well, you're giving me movies. You're telling me all about movies.
These are films that your audience will understand. 2012 and the day after the world died. I forget the name of it.
Day After Tomorrow.
What?
The Day After Tomorrow.
Whatever it is. The fact that I'm forced to defend myself in a forum like this is it's beyond me.
You might want to cover your mouth.
Forgive me, I didn't know.
877-877-876-PHIL. Zach, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Dr. Ron Tarner.
Hey, Phil, thanks for taking my call. I was initially just calling in to make sure that this interview was a joke. I think I've overheard the unwinding of a career in these past 5 minutes. But
I want to ask Dr. Tarner. Are you putting us on the same way you're putting people on with this email?
If you think that the future of this planet is some kind of a joke, you and your callers, have fun. There are many of us who are working to ensure a future for people on this planet. I don't think that's
when you say working to ensure the future for this planet, do you mean blackballing colleagues, differing opinions, censoring data, threatening to destroy it if it's retrieved under Freedom of Information Act? I mean, the sort of...
This is all beside the point. All beside the point.
These emails reveal that, if anything, the scientists working on this topic are not to be trusted. And that's the supreme irony here. You guys have employed every form of deception, borderline lies, push this stuff. It's clear in the emails, and now you're asking us here to trust you on data that doesn't exist, but it's coming your way. I'm frankly curious.
We're not censoring scientists. We're just making sure that some of their science isn't published. But this is beside the point. This is not what this is about. We don't.
How is this about? The crux of your argument is that, despite your lack of data, we need to trust you. And I'm pointing out that the irony of this whole situation is that these emails reveal your complete lack of integrity.
You know, I would suggest you see Day After Tomorrow on Blu-ray.
This young man is asking some questions.
Do not patronize me. I've been studying anthropogenic global warming. Listen, I've been studying anthropogenic global warming at Harvard. I have never heard presumption on the part of a scientist. If you think you're doing scientists a favor right now by condescending and patronizing a radio audience, I've got news for you. Because you know what? At the end of the day, you're going to have to convince people like me, reasonable people, of the validity of your theories. If you want us to remake our economies, to enact policies in the developing world that are going to slow their growth, cap carbon emissions to 1970 levels, you are going to have
to... How is it possible that Director Roland Emmerich knows about global warming, but you don't?
All right, now hold... Gentlemen, I got to hear one of you at a time, and Zach was making a point.
He's been going on and on. Am I going to get a chance?
I just don't know. Will you distill your science, your evidence, your forthcoming data into something
that
Neanderthals can understand?
You know, Mr. Hendry, you're hiding behind the obvious erudition of this young man, and you say, yeah. You know, you're like a guy that eggs a fight on at a bar, and then you get around behind the guy.
This guy's asking some good questions.
How is it possible that Roland Emmerich, the director of Day After Tomorrow, knows more about global warming than you guys?
That's not an argument, man.
Your reference to these movies is laughable. I mean, any reasonable person listening to you knows that these are fiction out of Hollywood. And if
Did you see 2012?
It doesn't matter if you saw 2012. You're a scientist. You're the guy that's been working on this. We got an email. You're caught dead to rights talking about, hey, wait till they get a load of this when we tell them about the fuzzy polar bears. And you know that other scientists have been caught the same way.
I've told you, as I am attempting to tell this man here, who... I don't know where you got this Poindexter, but I guess...
And the Poindexter crack, you know, you can make fun of people all you want. The fact is, you don't have evidence.
I'm telling you that the emails are beside... This man knows, this guy that I'm talking to, Zach, is that your name, sir? You know what I'm talking about. You understand. I can't explain this to most of these people. To them, it's going to read like Korean.
You just have to know that when you go on a radio show and say something like that, you are doing such a disservice to people that are trying to communicate perhaps a real threat. I mean, people listening right now will no longer trust what scientists say. And the idea that, quote-unquote, trust me, after the release of these emails, when we see a chronicle of deception and blackmail, not blackmail, blackballing, I mean, this is one of the most unbelievable.
Sir, I will have you know that I was one of the consultants on Day After Tomorrow, so I can vouch for the science of that film.
And you were a consultant on a movie.
Data. You don't even have the data to back up some of the papers you've been
publishing, guys,
not to mention consult on. Oh, this is...
So you asked me to come on a talk radio show and explain what we're up against to truck drivers and waitresses. Is that what you're asking me to do? I just want to be clear.
Do I sound like a truck driver and waitress, sir?
All right, besides you.
Yes, that's what we asked you to do, sir. That's why we had you on the show. Of course we want you to explain this to people who can't understand it.
It's like trying to explain the splitting of an atom to a kitten. How do you do that? Where do you begin? I would know how to begin.
I think you're really overstating some of the complexity of the science. Certainly it's nuanced. Certainly the statistical techniques you've used. I read through many of your emails.
That's why we want to do the polar bear ad campaign. People know about polar bears.
Oh, whatever, the
Let
polar bear.
Let me tell you, you have a total knack for PR on these things. So, listen, I hope the polar bear thing works.
Are you? You're taking 35 years of scientific experience, and now you're turning me into some kind of a PR man buying drinks for models that I'm setting up executives with. Is that what I am?
What?
No, I was trying to make a bad joke about your inability to communicate to an audience, and
I can't communicate to the audience. They can't understand
they understand that.
You know what? You know, all right.
You set me up for this.
You truly believe,
and the polar bear. The polar bear, and I didn't...
You said it was a load.
I said, wait till they get a load of this.
Same thing.
Let me just get a final point there. If you actually believe that global warming
is
the apocalyptic threat that you say it is, you have got to find a new way to package your message, and you've got to distill the science into something people can understand. Because in order to make the sort of emissions curbs, the tough political decisions that are going to be needed, you know, to curb anthropogenic global warming, if it exists, are going to be very difficult.
Okay, well,
and running around and condescending waitresses and truck drivers, the people that elect our policymakers, is no way to do that. I mean, you're a farce and an insult to science.
Well, thanks a lot, Dr. Sagan. Thank you.
Okay, well, that's what are you saying?
No, I'm just thanking Dr. Sagan for deigning to call in for the hereafter.
What a child! Thank you, Zach. You had a very, very good series of comments. I appreciate it very much. 877-876-PHIL.
Oh, he had a good series of comments, but I'm sitting here. What am I? I'm just sitting here playing with myself? Is that it? Am I playing with my own excrement like an ape in a cage? You know what? There's a brand new wing they opened up in hell, Phil. It's called the Napalm Wing. The shuttle's leaving in 5 minutes.
Did he hang up?
Yeah, he hung up.
There's a brand new wing they opened in hell called the Napalm Wing, and the shuttle... 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back in the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
No, I didn't hang up.
It's the Phil Hendry Show. Phil Hendry.
Talking to Dr. Ron Tarner from the Mountain Meadow Observatory on the scandal erupted earlier this week, or late last week, that some of the emails exchanged by global warming advocates, human-caused global warming advocates, these emails seem to indicate that there's a propaganda campaign going on, that some of the science is being suppressed, some of it is being censored if it doesn't agree with the prevailing view that global warming is caused by human beings, and it's an extremely critical issue. Here is Alan in Schenectady, New York. Alan, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Dr. Ron Tarner. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, Phil, I'm a new caller, new listener.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
But, Mr. Ron Tarner, as a scientist, I think you've forgotten one of the basic tenets of being a scientist, which is you come up with a hypothesis, and then you look for evidence to back up your hypothesis and find a way to prove it. And yet you claim that you have your hypothesis, and yet you don't have the evidence, but you know it's true. Doesn't that violate being a scientist? Does that make you a little biased towards other opinions?
You know, I was just sitting here thinking that tomorrow is Thanksgiving, Alan. I have nothing to give thanks for now because I realize the American people may be missing a few chromosomes. I have tried to...
Well, what does that mean?
I have tried to explain over and over. And by the way, it's not a tenement, it's a tenant. A tenement is someplace where poor people lived in 1902.
So now, are you going back on your earlier statements when you said that your hypothesis is proven, even though you lack evidence to prove it, that evidence will be forthcoming?
Alan, how do I explain something to people who can't even, couldn't spoon feed themselves if the spoon was taped to their hand? How do I do that?
Okay. So
how
what is that supposed to? What is that supposed level?
How about how, what is that supposed like Lord Monckton, who was special counsel to Margaret Thatcher? Would you agree to debate him?
Who? Lord what?
Lord Monckton, he was special counsel to Margaret Thatcher.
You making that name up?
No, he's not making that name up.
Well, that may be before my time.
You said you worked on this for 35 years.
Not on this. I've been working on this for 3 years. I've been a scientist for 35 years. And Lord Monckton.
He's British.
Did he work with Dave Garraway?
Who?
Lord Monckton.
You remember
that
Margaret
was a monkey.
Thatcher? You remember who she is?
Of course I do, sir. How do I explain this to people who need a 50-page manual explaining how to put a shirt on in the morning? How do I explain this to people who...
You keep on saying that, and you keep on talking about it. You can't explain this, and you can't explain that. Trust me. You know, I'm a volcano surrounded by ants, okay? I mean...
Oh, and now you've got your caller laughing. So I come on, an eminent scientist, and I'm being laughed at.
Well,
I'm going to work through the Thanksgiving week.
At a nuclear facility. We talked to many nuclear physicists, and they said the global warming theory is definitely not proven, and they're waiting for evidence to point it either way.
Well, here, I'll give you evidence. Have them build a bomb and explode it, and there they forget it.
You can have nuclear nuclear bomb. There's a big difference.
Exactly. Thank you. Phil Hendry Show. Happy Thanksgiving.
Phil Hendry. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Scientists have come to the conclusion.
The second he got dropped off at school, he was walking away from the drop.
I need an ambulance immediately. I have someone down in front of my house. They hit a pole. I came out to see.
Is it a car accident?
I have to tell you, look, I'm a talk show host. I am totally for talk show hosts.
Crotch grab.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where reality is the bitch. This hour we have Stephen Bozell, and he is a father and a construction contractor, businessman from the Inland Empire of California, so-called. He lives in Corona, California, which is just east of Los Angeles. And we'll tell you what we're going to be talking about this hour, and it is of concern to every parent. And I know how I would deal with this. There is no question in my mind that I would go to the school and talk to the people at the school if my child was being bullied, and go from there. Now, what happened in Los Angeles? Three boys were booked on suspicion of bullying or kicking redheaded students at a middle school when a Kick a Ginger Day prank inspired by a South Park episode got out of hand, according to authorities, today. Well, actually, that would be yesterday, Monday. We are into the Tuesday hour. A 13-year-old boy was detained last week for investigation of threatening to inflict injury by means of electronic communication, essentially cyberbullying. This is the new law that's come into effect, I believe, since this poor child in Missouri was egged into a suicide by those individuals. Two 12-year-olds were booked for battery on school property. The three suspects whose identities were not released because of their ages were booked Wednesday and released to their parents. So this all happened last week. Now, according to some people, this was inspired by a Kick a Ginger Day bit on South Park. The TV show South Park And we have a clip from that episode right here.
My speech is entitled Ginger Kids, Children with Red Hair, Light Skin, and Freckles. We've all seen them on the playground, at the store, walking on the streets. They creep us out and make us feel sick to our stomachs. I'm talking, of course, about ginger kids. Ginger kids are born with a disease which causes very light skin, red hair, and freckles. This disease is called gingivitis, and it occurs because ginger kids have no souls.
All right, now, L.A. County Sheriff's Department Deputy Rob Kazmersky told Fox Television about one 12-year-old victim of Kick a Ginger Day. The student's name was not released.
Basically, the second he got dropped off at school, he was walking away from the drop-off area and was surrounded and knocked down to the ground by, you know, anywhere from 8 to 12 students. You know, some students kicked him, some students punched him, and they took off and ran away. Nothing was ever said to him as to why, and then he walked around the corner of the building and got attacked again by another set of...
Oh, my gosh. Dude,
that's basically where we're at this point. And, you know, he said he was even aware of this Kick a Ginger Day, but, you know, he thought it could be a joke.
All right, let's get Steve Bozell on the line because he's a parent in Corona, California, whose kids, you say, Mr. Bozell, were also involved in this, correct?
Yes, sir. And if I could ask you, I would like to hear one more time. I wanted to make sure that that was the episode, if you have that tape.
Of the South Park episode, sir?
Yes, sir.
All right. The tape of the South Park episode. This is as it aired, and this is just a clip from it, but here it is.
My speech is entitled Ginger Kids, Children with Red Hair, Light Skin, and Freckles.
Yeah, okay.
We've all seen them on the playground, at the store, walking on the streets.
Yeah,
they creep us out
sure
and make
did.
Us feel sick to our stomachs.
So that is...
Well, let me hear some more of the...
Ginger kids are born with a disease which causes very light skin, red hair, and freckles.
Okay.
This disease is called gingivitis. And it occurs because ginger kids have no souls.
Well, yeah.
You think that's funny?
Yes, sir. I think it's very funny. You know, and I want to tell you, first of all, before you... My children are not bullies. My children are good children. They have been raised to treat other people. First of all, Mr. Henry, if I could be... You or your friends with the men who make the South Park show... And
I'm not friends. I know them professionally. Yeah, I worked for them, as a matter of fact. But I'm not talking about that right now.
Well, are you telling me that's not funny, that what you heard? And I would ask you at this time to be very careful, because if you say no, it's not, then you're saying basically something bad about people that you work with.
No, I'm not. No, I think it's funny in the context of an adult watching that. I think I would even laugh at it. What bothers me is that kids will hear that or otherwise be inspired by that. And I'm not even blaming the guys that made the show. I'm blaming whoever the adult is in the house that lets kids watch particularly sophisticated episodes of South Park. The show is a satire, okay?
Well, see, you can't have it both ways. I mean, you're saying on the one hand you think it's funny, but on the other hand you don't think it's funny. That on account of you, see, if you're saying that I'm a bad father...
Sir, let's stick to the point here. Did you tell your kids to go out and kick other kids?
No, I want to tell you what happened, but if you're saying that I'm a bad father because I let my kids watch South Park, then why did you work for them?
They do an adult show. Whether it's animated or not, it's an adult show. And I worked for them on a movie, and it was an adult movie. It's not a movie for kids, in my opinion.
Well, it's a cartoon.
It may be an animated thing. You know, animation these days is not necessarily reserved for kids. Animation at one time, people thought of, oh, that's a cartoon. There's a lot of really adult stuff going on, okay? And I'm not, like I said, blaming the creators so much as are there parents of these kids? Now, you tell me that you had children who went out and kicked redheaded kids.
Well, hold on for a minute. First of all, you have the wrong impression. And I think the point was the following point, and I think it's a point that if you let me say it, people will understand it.
Go ahead.
When we talk about a redheaded kid, and especially if they have blonde eyebrows, if not blonde eyebrows, but blonde eyelashes, if you've ever seen these, it is a natural reaction for any human being. When we see something that alarms us or has a look to it that is not a part of our normal reality, we have a need to defend ourselves or to try to put up a
some kind of a fence or a fort or something against it. Now,
are you telling me that redheaded kids are that unusual?
Well, you see, if you were born and raised a redhead, but for many years parents have been told to tell the kids to accept people who are different, but it's human nature to at least want to defend yourself. I got nothing against people that are different, but if you come up against something that looks almost like it would be a freak, if we didn't live in a tolerant society. We do live in a tolerant society.
No, but a redheaded kid...
I'm not talking about any... I'm talking about a very specific kind of what they called it, a ginger. And this is a kid that has the red hair that's almost like, if you've ever seen it, I think he's very good, and I've enjoyed him so much over the years, is Carrot Top, who's a comedian.
Yeah, he's got that bright orange hair.
Yeah, and I don't think anyone sees that and feels comfortable being near it. If you have the blonde eyelashes, and what you want to do is defend yourself. My children said that they wanted to defend themselves. And I said...
I don't understand defend yourself. What does that mean if there's a little kid with red hair?
Yeah, I'm not saying that you're going to get attacked by them, but it's the instinct. It's almost an involuntary instinct to want to at least defend what's yours against it.
To defend what's yours against what? A red-headed child.
You're looking at it in terms of a red-headed child. I'm telling you that what I did is I channeled my children's aggression. They wanted to defend themselves against it. My daughter, who had seen one red-headed girl who had been at their school, told me that she thought it was a spirit, almost a spirit, you know.
Well, that sounds like the South Park episode, They've Got No Souls.
No, sir, that's not. That's what my daughter didn't say that. She said it looked like it didn't know what it was. And
all right, let the record show here, though, Mr. Bozzella. We're talking about children with red hair.
Not just children with red hair, children with red hair and blonde eyelashes, okay? And that, you keep leaving that out, and I know why you're doing that, to make me... look like I'm not being...
No, I'm not trying to make you look anything, sir, but you're right out of the gate telling me that you got to defend yourself against a red-headed kid.
I'm not saying that you do. I'm not saying that I do. I'm saying that our children's natural instinct is to defend themselves against something that appears to be from another, not part of their, you know, their, not particularly part of their territory or where they live in their province or however you want to put it. Now, I told my children, no, you do not abuse people. As all parents tell their children, but it's human nature to want to defend your property and your rights and everything. And so I told the children...
I don't know what you mean by property rights. You got a kid, a redheaded kid.
Well, let's finish. I told my children, don't hurt anybody. If you want to do the kick a ginger, which is what the man on the South Park said, kick them in the butt, is what I said. And everyone knows when you kick somebody in the butt, it's not that bad. You just kick them in the butt, and it is kind of fun. I told my children to kick him in the butt. I don't know of any of these other things that have been said.
Well, sir, you did say to your kids, kick them in the butt.
If my children had the instinct to act out in a defensive manner against a kid that had the red hair and the eyelashes, you have to understand these are children. These are not adults. They don't know whether it'll hurt them or not.
And if we're adults, don't we tell our kids, this is a redheaded child, and maybe that's an unusual thing? There's actually very many attractive redheaded people.
Well, could you please name me one?
When she was younger, Anne Margaret.
Well, that was, when she was younger, there were more red... See, that's the thing. There were more redheads then. But even still, you can't tell me that she's attractive. And
when she was younger, Anne Margaret was pretty hot.
Well, that again, we had a far higher percentage of it. Today...
If we had a far higher percentage of it then, if we didn't have a far higher percentage of it then, she was still hot-looking.
And how old were you when Anne Margaret was when she was popular?
Probably about 10 or 11.
Well, what do you know about it? I mean, you're sitting there looking at Brazier ads and feeling hot about it. Our children are naturally...
No, sir, I'm not. And, you're making a big thing. What I'm saying is...
Our children will naturally want to defend themselves against a perceived threat. I think it's very human. And when some... ginger, as they say, a ginger kid with blonde eyebrows is walking toward them, kids are going to perceive them as possibly a clear and present danger. And I want my children to embrace their instincts, but I don't want them to hurt anybody. And I said, kick them in the butt. And now everyone is saying that I'm wrong about it.
and a lot of other parents are being maligned in all of this.
Kick them in the butt.
Kick them in the butt, because that doesn't hurt, and it's funny. If you see a kid and you want to defend yourself from it. But, again, these are children. What do you do? How do I say to them, no, it won't hurt you? I've taken my children to the zoo, and they'll scream and run away when there's a lion, and it's in a cage, and it has and everything, but they're still screaming, and they're running, and they wail and wail long into the night.
Well, sir, I would suggest to you that if your children go and see a lion at the zoo, and they're wailing long into the night, there's a problem there.
Well, I would thank you, sir, not to tell me the mental health of my children.
I'm just suggesting, sir.
Well, that's more than a suggestion. You're telling me my children are... If you're telling me my children are whacked out because... Well, I think that takes a lot of guts.
All right, you know what? We'll get into this here. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. We're speaking with Stephen Bozell about so-called Ginger Day. This was an episode of South Park where redheaded kids were described as very weird. Now, they had a Ginger Day at a local school, but the fact is, Mr. Bozell told his kids, if you see a redheaded kid, don't hurt them, kick them in the butt, because that doesn't hurt. But it's natural for a child, when they see something that's different, quote-unquote, like a redheaded kid with blonde eyelashes, to want to lash out.
But he says he's doing it on a constructive way.
Well, I don't know that that's constructive, Bud, to say, let's not hurt the kid, just kick him in the butt if you see a redheaded kid. 877-876-PHIL. We're living in the day and age of school bullying. We got all kinds of people attributing school bullying to every single social ill that there is, man. Okay? And even some that aren't social ills. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show with Steve Bozell.
Can I get a drink of water?
Phil Hendry.
Thank you.
Phil Hendry Show.
On the line with me is Steve Bozell. He is a father of two children who were involved in this Kick a Ginger Day thing, and this was a kick redheaded kids. And Mr. Bozell, you have been very forthcoming in saying that you told your children if they were frightened by a redheaded kid to kick them in the butt, because you say that it is a natural instinct to want to defend yourself against something that's different.
Mr. Henry, I don't know if you have children.
I have been a parent, yes, sir.
All right, well, the children will say, I saw, my son, there was a thing on the news last week, it was Kick a Jew Day, if you heard all about it.
Yes, I did.
All right, well, in that instance, the children said, well, I seen a man, he had the curly hair and everything, he had a suit that was too big. A lot of people know, Jews never met a suit they want to tailor. That can intimidate.
What do you mean Jews never met a suit they want? Are you talking about Hasidic Jews?
Yes, sir. They're Orthodox Jews.
Okay, well, that's just one sect of Jewish people.
All right, but what I'm saying is, if you see that, and he has a hat and a suit that's too big, and his beard is ever, if you will be threatened. And I'm not saying because you think they're a terrorist, because I know the Jewish folks, they've been threatened by terrorists. But if they got a baggy suit and curly cues that they wear, does that not make you want to say, okay, there's something wrong here. I feel as if there's something wrong in the area that I'm standing in, because here's a guy with a suit or a kid with, blonde eyelashes or something. And so if you want to lash out, kick him in the butt. And
are you telling me you're going to walk up to a Hasidic Jew on the street someplace, anywhere in America, and kick him in the ass?
I didn't let the record show you used the word ass. I did not use the word ass with my children.
Well, that's what you're telling them to do.
I said kick him in the butt. I didn't say kick him in the ass.
That doesn't make any difference, sir. That's what you're saying.
In other words, when you see a Hasidic Jew and he's got a suit on that's too big, that doesn't worry you.
No, it doesn't work. I live in the city of Los Angeles. We have a lot of Hasidic Jews, okay?
Yeah, but are you trying to tell me you see that every day?
No, I don't see it every day, but it doesn't threaten me.
But it does. A little tiny kid is all I'm saying. I wish you'd understand.
All right, sir. Let me take a phone call here. 877-876-PHIL. We're talking with Steve Bozell about his kids and this so-called Kick a Ginger Day. This is Michael. Michael, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. You know,
your
guest is very articulate and everything, but also very much a liar if he is trying to assert that he's teaching his children self-defense. He's teaching them violence. How is it?
You call me a liar? What? Why am I a liar? I've been doing nothing but telling the truth.
Well, that's what I'm getting ready to. That's the thing. It's hard to know what you're saying is believable or not, because if you
no, I'm saying to you, if a child feels bad about seeing that.
Okay.
Is what I'm saying.
And I get that there's a lot of weird segments of society that might frighten a kid or an adult even. But if you kick them
exactly.
in the butt, how is that self-defense when they're facing away from you? How are they threatening you truly? You're
making a statement. You're getting your fear can be turned into a constructive piece of aggression by kicking them in the butt. They're not going to feel as if they were assaulted. They'll think
okay,
it's a
so
joke.
You do admit that it's aggression, then. You claim it's constructive, but really
it allows the kid to kick you. Kick a kid in the butt. There's no harm done to society. And yet you can make a statement about a red-headed kid.
Wait. I'm sorry, I can't hear what the gentleman is saying. Say it again, Billy.
Well, Billy? Michael?
Michael, I'm sorry, sir. Yeah,
that's
go ahead.
All right. Well, he
said I thought his name was Billy.
So he confesses that it's aggression, or in other words, violence, but really it's just South Park aggression.
No,
it's not really
no.
constructive
you,
at all.
You can be aggressive. You can be aggressive with words and you're not violent. I'm saying that...
What is the redheaded child supposed to think? Let me ask you, Mr. Bozell, what is that child supposed to think?
He got kicked in the butt, as so people say, you know, your eyelashes are the wrong color, or however you want to say it.
But how are you being threatened by those eyelashes? Are those eyelashes going to threaten you and change
not me.
Your life?
No, not me. But I got a 10-year-old daughter who feels that a redhead with eyelashes that are like that is a spirit.
What if your daughter's threatened by the spittle that's coming out of your mouth while you're telling them to kick a redhead in the butt? Maybe you're washing dishes and your daughter comes in the butt in self-defense.
My daughter knows me and she's not threatened by me. Oh, looks like you lose that one.
She knows her schoolmate. She eats lunch with them every day.
No, she doesn't. She don't know about redheads. She wanted to kick them in the butt.
Phil Hendry Show, 877-876 Phil. We'll be right back here on the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Foot would go through it. It would.
Phil Hendry.
How? If you kick a spirit, your foot will go right through it.
It's the Phil Hendry Show.
Our number is 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, the groundbreaking Phil Hendry Show, as we bring on for another segment Mr. Stephen Bozzelli. He's a father in Corona, California. His two children, April and Stephen Jr., attend a middle school there, and they did take part in this Kick a Ginger Day, which is kick a red-headed kid. And I think you're the only father that I've talked to, Mr. Bozell, who defends this.
As I said, Mr. Hendry, I would never do it myself. We're talking about children here, okay? And
we're also talking about children who are going to do what parents do, you know.
I don't parent by way of being politically correct, and neither should the parents in your audience. And these problems would be alleviated if these redheaded kids, or as I was mentioning to you earlier, the Jews that wear baggy suits, if they'd get some, there are many good Korean seamstresses to tighten a suit up and then run a bronze shaver against those curls.
That's their religion. Do you understand that that is a religious symbol for them?
I understand that is, yes, sir. And you're trying to make it sound like I'm a racist, and I'm not a racist. I will never admit to that, and because that's not what I am. But it will jar you and cause you to lose consciousness if you are suddenly jarred awake by a Hasidic Jew. And you know what, Phil? A Jew never met a suit he wanted to take to the tailor. And I wanted to just say that because that's a joke that we have at work. But the fact is, if they take it down to a Korean and have them tighten it up.
Okay.
Well, I mean, you're not saying anything.
I'm not saying anything because I don't, you know, I don't know what to say about a parent that says it's okay to kick a kid in the butt.
It's kicking him in the butt. It's not kicking him in the you know what. I'm talking about kicking him in the butt, not sticking a shank in him. God almighty. And
well, Mr. Bozell, it may not be sticking a shank in him, but it's an irresponsible piece of behavior, in my opinion. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Kim. Hi, Kim. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Stephen Bozell. We're talking about the Ginger Day episode here in Los Angeles. Go ahead.
Hi. I just wanted to give you guys a call, only because of the fact that I am technically one of those ginger kids as a grown adult woman. You, Mr. Bozell, are teaching your kids to be prejudiced. Prejudice is taught. You're not born with it. You're teaching it to them by allowing them to go out and participate in something like this.
Well, ma'am, I don't want them to hate. I don't want them to hate.
Say that you're not a racist. I mean,
all I'm saying is, sir.
Only because
if you're a redhead, that's not a race.
I was a kid, okay, because of the color of my hair. I have blonde eyelashes. I mean, but to have a parent advocating for their children to go out and bully somebody, you, sir, should be held accountable for that.
What do we do about a blonde eyelash? You come around with your blonde eyelashes as a kid, and the other children are worried about it.
They're not worried about it. You want to know why?
They want a plan of action.
I had different color hair, you fool. It is nothing
to
do with that.
Yeah, it's because of your hair, but also the blonde eyelash.
Wait a minute, you guys are talking over.
Hold on for a second. Kim, are you on a speakerphone? It might be easier if you had the headset, unless you're driving, of course, and I don't want to.
Actually, I had to go into a different room, and it's kind of a little.
I understand.
Sorry.
It's perfectly fine.
Well, Mr. Henry, I want to respond to this lady's charges of racism. First of all, I don't have nothing against a redhead. I don't know why she has a problem getting kicked in the butt.
Sir, because that is unnatural, it is wrong, sir. Would you like somebody to come up and kick you in the butt because you have blue eyes, you have curly hair, you have dark hair?
That's not unusual, but you, sir, are unusual
because you obviously do not know how to parent. If you're advocating for your children, go out and pick on somebody like that just because
I respectfully disagree, but you know as well as I do that redheads are advocating for your children to go out and randomly pick on somebody because of the carrot head, makes you prejudiced and a racist.
Do you refer to the kids as carrot heads?
My children, they didn't want to call it ginger. I said, if you see a carrot head, you go after them because, and here's one thing that Kim doesn't
admit, because you are telling them to go after somebody because they are different, sir.
Right, right.
What color hair do you have, sir? When you walk into a room, you scare people with your blonde eyelashes.
Am I bald? Are you bald? What color hair do you have?
That's a private question. That's a personal question,
no,
isn't it?
I said I have red hair and I have blonde eyelashes and eyebrows. I would certainly not kick you in the butt right now.
You didn't say, do you have red hair, you know, the other place?
That's none of your business. We're talking about red hair on the head.
She was just asking me.
No, ma'am, you asked me if I shave it. I asked if you were bald. No, she didn't ask you that.
Are you bald?
You're talking about if I shave. If you ask me if I shave my you know what?
She said, "Are you bald? Are you bald?"
And it's okay for me to ask if you're red, if you got red hair all over.
Are you listening to what she's saying? Do you have hair, Steve? You know how I'm bald.
Yeah.
Are you bald?
No, I'm not. What part are you talking about?
The thing is, we're talking about the top of your head. What type of hair do you have, sir?
Normal hair.
What color hair do you have?
It's normal brown hair.
Let me ask you something. Does your wife dye her hair?
Does she what?
Does she dye her hair?
No, she does not.
Oh,
really? She has
really?
Normal hair, too. Yeah.
Normal hair. Something... If he goes out and dyes your hair, you may as well go tell your children, go out and kick them in the butt, too, because they're different now because they've changed.
I'm not familiar. I'm not familiar with that. It's acceptable to dye your hair. But
you
to
are
walk around
an
with
ignorant,
a
prejudiced.
Oh, come on. Come on, sir.
No, ma'am, she won't let me say that when redheads generally have bigger butts, and she knows that, to kick them in the butt is not going to hurt. And what I have told my children...
You
what is that supposed to mean?
You are a fool, sir. You are
ma'am,
a fool. Do you understand? I have a 17-year-old that I have raised. I have told her always to respect other people, no matter what they look like.
That's exactly what I tell children. I tell them that, too.
No idea what you're talking about, and you, sir, are raising your children to be prejudiced.
Oh, no, ma'am. I told them that you should love people. What are they supposed to do?
Myself. I really do wish I could see you myself. You infuriate me. You told me
you saw me.
Somebody who has red hair, you're going to see your children go out there and kick them in the butt? Are you for real? You, sir, are an irresponsible parent, and somebody from DCYS in your state should report you.
If you saw me, you wouldn't be frightened of me.
Do something like that. You're advocating violence, sir.
Right. Exactly. You're advocating that...
I'm not... Oh, my God. Are you telling me to kick in a redhead who's already got a big butt?
A kid?
I don't care what they look like, sir, deserves to be touched. No one. You have a big ass, too, sir. I mean, I know
you're going to... No, I don't. No, I work out.
I mean...
I lift weights.
Honestly, I fail to believe that, sir, because you sound like a hick.
Yeah, and you know what, Steve?
What you sound like.
Ma'am, if you saw me, you'd be hitting on me. That's all I'll say about
that. Oh, police, you know what? To be honest with you, I don't care how good-looking you think you are. All you have to do is talk, and you would turn me right off. And I feel sorry for your children. I really do. Because
I'm a very good father, and that's
you
wrong.
You advocate this kind of stuff, and you're the kind of person that makes this world
right.
Who it is.
Why can't you say to your children, Mr. Bozell, yeah, there's red-headed kids and there's brown-headed kids, and you know what? When the other kids want to kick them, you go up to them and you put your arm around them and say, let's go and get some, you know.
This lady, she doesn't want to hear. I said to my children,
if you see someone with blonde eyelashes...
And you see a blonde eyelash person, it's not a ghost. My daughter thought it was a spirit that had come from the dimension.
Why would your child think that a redhead with blonde eyelashes is a spirit? Somebody is telling them that. Come on. Use the brain that God gave you.
Ma'am, I didn't tell her there was a spirit. I said if she was a spirit, you're fucking...
Why would your child
come out
with something like that? You sound like a fool.
Because of the blonde eyelashes. That's the only reason.
What's that got to do with anything?
There are blonde people out there with blonde hair, blonde eyelashes, blonde eyebrows.
No.
Are you going to tell
you? No, ma'am.
That's too? It sounds like you are specifically singling out a particular way a person looks and telling your children to go
very
good. You know what? A very good call, Kim. Kim, I thank you very much for your call. It was a very good call. And Steve,
that lady didn't let me say anything, and I wanted to say she wouldn't let me say. I told my daughter, it's not a spirit. If you kick a spirit, your foot goes through it. And also, she wouldn't comment on what I did say. That redheads have larger butts, forget it.
That's about the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life.
I beg your pardon?
Redheads have bigger butts, so it's okay to kick them in the butt. And if it was a spirit, your foot would go through it.
Mr. Henry, are you telling me that it's... Are you telling me you can kick a soul in the ass and it's gonna your foot's going to hit a soul's ass?
A what?
A soul, a spirit.
No, you know something, man.
No, see, that's just it. I got you on that point, and now you want to go buy it.
Are you crazy or something?
And that woman said that she thought I was ugly. If she saw me, she'd be all over my jaw.
You know what? Again, I echo what the lady said. You were in San Antonio. You're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, Wendy.
Hi, I'm calling about the man that is talking about the redhead, and I am
yes, ma'am.
Absolutely appalled that he is saying the things that he's saying. He should be guiding him.
about that?
And thanks to you, Shepard.
Tell that to the elephant man.
And have the courtesy to be quiet when somebody else is speaking. And not
yeah, but you're
the,
what about the elephant man?
Them.
All right, hold on. Let the lady talk. Let her talk.
You don't have any manners, and you don't even speak grammatically correct. And you are absolutely what is wrong with this world. Teaching your children the difference between right and wrong. If your child comes home and they say something bad about another child, your role as a parent is to correct them, not entice them to do it more, to think that what they're doing is okay. And then how is the teacher supposed to react to that, or the school, or other parents? And do you want your
I split the difference. I give them an option. I gave them
no,
an option,
you,
ma'am. I
no.
said, don't hurt them.
Kick
the redhead in the butt because the butt's large.
No, you don't give your children options. You teach them the difference between right and wrong. You don't give them an option. You should have never
ma'am,
asked
you know,
if you didn't know how
you
to
know, you know that a Jew never met a suit that he didn't want to take to a tailor, right?
We already heard that joke.
You,
God, the joke with the Jewish suits, man.
No, man.
You
no, the lady's wrong. She's wrong because...
And I'm sure that you're divorced.
See, right there, you're prejudiced. You're prejudiced because I don't agree with you. I don't agree with you, and so therefore, I'm crazy.
You are strong enough to know that what you're teaching them is incorrect, because what goes around comes around, and if they start kicking people in the butt, they're going to get kicked back. And that's not okay.
In the butt? Big deal.
That is not okay.
If it's in the butt, what's wrong with the butt?
It may not be in the butt. What? Who says that it has to be in the butt? You kick somebody in the butt.
I specifically told them to kick them in the butt.
You in the face.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
What
right.
You want
if they
for your child.
Exactly. What about that, Steve? If they
instead of
well,
teaching them, what kind of education
oh,
do you
right.
have?
Right. Let me ask you something. Who's going to turn around and sock somebody after they kicked him in the butt? Good naturedly to say, hey, you look like a
oh
carrot
my
head.
Gosh, are you
God.
That much of a mouse instead of being a man? How many people
ma'am?
Would you think would turn around
ma'am.
And hit them back if they got
I'm
kicked
trying
in the
to
butt?
Tell you. If you see a Jewish fellow with a large suit, don't you get frightened? Of course.
Not in
it's
the
a natural
least
thing.
Bit.
Oh, come on.
Not in the least bit.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow.
Do you see somebody that's homeless? Do you get scared? I mean,
no,
what,
I see that all the time.
You, a 2-year-old
I see that all the time.
Be afraid of things?
I see homeless people all the time.
Full of different people.
And I see all kinds of different people, but I ain't never seen a blonde eyelash. How many times do you see the blonde eyelash on a carrot head? That's very weird.
You're obviously not very well traveled, and this just shows your level of education. What level of education do you have?
I don't have the money. I don't have the money you got to travel all around. I got to work every day.
How do you know
how
much money I have?
You're on a steamship and all of the things that you do.
How much money does it take to read a book?
To travel
the
world?
I got a
job I got to do. I can't go on a steamship.
Oh,
what do you mean a steamship, man?
This lady's off steamshipping around, going on cruises.
And is that
no, she's not.
Is that how you go on cruises? Is you go on a steamship? You
don't
know,
ma'am.
You're
the one. You're the one.
You are stupid.
You're the one that takes. And I'll bet you take the Disney cruise. I bet you take the Disney cruise, and you're an adult and everything.
In the first place,
what? What is that?
If I do take the Disney cruise, what difference does that make? Do you have something against people?
I think that's very unusual.
Disney cruises.
I think it's unusual for an adult. Only. Why would you go on a Disney cruise and you're an adult? I'll tell you why. Because I don't want to say.
Oh, come on, man. Are you crazy or something?
You know, see, listen, she thought this lady, see, she thinks it's funny.
Disney cruises think they take their kids on a place where they can be exposed to other kids that are not exactly like they are.
But I'll bet you go, by yourself.
And they can go places, and they can be in settings where they are able to be, they can...
What? Yeah, so you don't even know what you're saying. You're stumbling over it.
I have a 16-year-old.
You're stumbling over it.
And let me tell you something. My 21-year-old can be with the poorest of poor or the richest of rich. And she knows how to handle
it. You know what, Mr. Henry? That lady just told me everything I need to know. She said she's 21 and she's got a 16-year-old.
Never all right. Talk about somebody in a big suit. You need to put on a suit, maybe.
If you've seen a big, a Jew has never met a suit that he wanted to take to a tailor.
Oh, God, with that old joke, man.
You're crazy.
Exactly.
I should be put away, and you're the one walking around with blonde eyelashes. And, oh, man. I hope.
That's right. You know, I have God blonde eyelashes. And I have blonde hair, too.
And you want to scare my children.
You want to scare my children. Let me tell you something. If your kids, too, they will be going to.
Yeah. We'll be right back.
Phil Henry.
877-876-Phil. I think it's so unfair.
I want to remind you that every night we are in live streaming video as well as live streaming audio at philhenryshow.com. That's philhenryshow.com. Stephen Bozell with us on this episode of Ginger Day here in Los Angeles. Redheaded children being kicked because they've got red hair, because they look a little weird, because they're different. And Mr. Bozell has been defending the actions of his children.
No, sir, I have not.
You most certainly have, sir.
No, sir, I said that I told my children if you see a redhead, they'll have a big ass.
Yeah, you've given every excuse in the book, sir. Let me go over to Michelle. You're on the Phil Henry Show, Michelle, with Stephen Bozell. Go ahead, ma'am.
Hi. I think it's very unfair. I cannot believe what I'm hearing on this show tonight. You have pulled some people up on your show tonight. This man is, you are psychologically challenged. You need to go get counseling. I cannot believe how you're thinking.
Thank you, Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Thank you, Dr. Laura
Schlesinger. You're welcome. Where's the mother of the children?
Are you a psychiatrist? No, you are not.
Okay.
No, you are not. No, you are not.
You are childish. Where's the mother of the children? Because she should be so embarrassed. You are a danger to your children.
My wife needs to step up.
She needs to take the kids and run. You're crazy. Are you giving marriage counseling?
Ma'am? I said to my children, when they say I'm scared of a kid with his eyelashes that are blonde, I said, okay, you don't disrespect them. You kick them in the butt good-naturedly and say, you know, you're a freak
kicking
or whatever.
You're a freak. Do you know what the word
is? That is not how you handle it. You need to go to counseling to grow up.
How many children do you have?
I have two. Let me tell you something. Mine are teenagers. I would never. My children have been around all kinds of children, special education children, everything.
Have they been around the kids with baggy suits?
Yes.
Have they seen the baggy suit?
You know what?
They've seen the baggy
suit. My children are not afraid of what's in the world. Your children are. Your poor children are going to need psychological help, too.
Man,
somebody needs to take these children away from him.
You know, a Jew has never seen a suit that he would take to a tailor. You know that, right?
I don't have a problem
with your jokes. Yeah, your jokes are not funny.
No, I'm just saying.
They've got baggy suits. There is something wrong because
you're an adult.
You're
I'm saying you're an adult. It's not going to scare you. It scares a kid to see the big suit.
It doesn't scare a child. It does not.
You know what?
Scare
I hope you know what, ma'am.
If you die and you go to hell
and the devil's wearing a baggy suit, you remember that I said it because I hope you do too, Mr. Henry.
You're crazy.
Yeah. You know what? The people in hell wear baggy suits.
No, I'm not crazy.
I know what size suit the devil wears.
Learn more at talkradionetwork.com. Phil Henry.